Well, good morning. Blessings to each one that came out this morning. Thank you, Brian, for the devotional. Wasn't sure where you were going to go with that. My title is Freely Received, Freely Give. And that's a popular phrase. The book that I want to look at this morning is Philemon. Philemon is a very short book towards the back of the New Testament, right before Hebrews. It is a letter to Philemon, which a lot of Paul's writings were. It's written by Paul. We have three main characters that we're going to see in this letter. This letter is only 25 verses long, so it's relatively short. We're going to be going through all of it. We're going to read all of it and pick some points out of it. But Paul was the author of this letter. At the time of this writing, he was on house arrest in Rome, approximately AD 60. And he was arrested for preaching the gospel. He was on house arrest, so he wasn't confined to prison, but he was able to receive visitors. He was able to write letters. He was able to interact at least somewhat. I don't know exactly how restricted he was, but he would have been always under surveillance of some sort, possibly even chained to a guard, at least shackled or something. So he was in prison, and we'll see that in the verses. But he was able to communicate with the churches, and with people were able to come to him and talk to him, I believe, in person. Somebody else that we're going to see is Philemon. Philemon lives in Colossae. He is a godly man. And he is a convert from Paul's teachings. He's probably from earlier missionary journeys. He would have been converted. So he was not a Christian all his life, but through Paul came to know Christ. And as we'll see, he's an owner of at least one slave. He could be more. One is mentioned. And that slave is Onesimus. And we'll see him in this letter as well. Onesimus, a slave to Philemon, and he either ran away or he left Philemon. It seems the most commonly thought was that he ran away, that he possibly stole from Philemon and ran away. There's some discrepancy there that he may have been, that he was upset at Philemon and he would have left. But either way, he left on bad terms. Not a mutual agreement, most likely. So he left on bad terms. Him and Onesimus and Philemon have something against each other. They are not on good terms. And through that, Onesimus leaves, whether he ran away, whether he's a fugitive or not, doesn't really matter. But Onesimus goes to Rome, which, according to my studies, was about 1,000 miles away from where Philemon lived. So no small walk. But he goes to Rome, and he crosses paths with Paul. Again, crossing the paths, is it something that he intentionally went to Paul, or was it divine intervention that brought them together? That would depend probably some on whether he was a fugitive or not. So that we don't have all those details in the gospel, but either way, he crossed paths with Paul, develops a relationship with him, with Paul that is, and he becomes converted. So now Onesimus has run away from Philemon. He's far away and becomes converted. So after the conversion, it becomes clear that Onesimus has some things that he needs to make right with Philemon. And by law, he is still Philemon's servant, and punishment for his wrongdoing was still a possibility. And under Roman law, punishment for a runaway slave was oftentimes very bad. Sometimes they even killed them. So Onesimus had this in the back of his mind. He's still legally bound to Philemon, and now he's a Christian, and he knows he wronged Philemon in one way or another, whether he stole something or, cost Philemon money in one way or another, and he knows he needs to go back and make it right. And he is apparently afraid to go and present himself to Philemon. So now he's talking with Paul. I'm guessing they're having conversation. So Paul steps in as a mediator. Remember, Paul's in Rome under house arrest, so Paul can't actually go to Philemon and work this out face to face. So he writes a letter on behalf of Onesimus. But what's really interesting, or I found it quite interesting, so he wrote this letter, could have sent it with anybody, given it to Philemon and waited for a reply back. But no, he sends Onesimus with the letter to Philemon, along with Tychicus, another one of his fellow laborers. He sent them both to Philemon. So in person, not Philemon, with Onesimus. So Onesimus in person was going to meet Philemon before Philemon reads the letter. So if Onesimus has the letter, he's going to find Philemon and give him the letter. So Philemon's going to see Onesimus before he reads the letter. And I don't know what all was going through his mind, carrying that letter there. I wish we had both sides of this story. This is obviously just Paul's letter to Philemon. It would be nice if we had an answer. But the way Paul presents it and lifts up Philemon, I believe we can have a pretty good idea of the way Philemon may have answered. So this letter to Philemon is a story or a letter. It's on restoration. We see second chances and we see forgiveness. And when I think of all those things and Paul being the mediator, I believe Paul had firsthand experience on all those things. Paul went from persecuting to persecuted. And as of right now, he's being persecuted. We know that he was originally named Saul and was an avid persecutor of the Christian church until he was struck down on his way to Damascus. And there he became a changed man. So we see restoration. We see God giving Paul a second chance and offering forgiveness. And through all that, Paul became an avid preacher of the very thing he was trying to abolish not very long before that. So like I said, this is a letter written for Philemon. And in this letter, we're going to see the question presented, will you forgive Onesimus? And I believe his wrongdoing was fairly substantial. If it's going to be a letter that's recorded in the Bible, I believe it was probably pretty substantial of something wrong. But then maybe even the bigger question is, will you receive him as a brother? And I believe those could be two separate things. Will you forgive him? Will you forgive him and accept him as one of your family? So we're going to look at some of that. Paul starts in the letter. Verses 1 through 3 is a greeting. I'm going to read 1 through 3 of Philemon. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved, and fellow laborer, to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church of thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So greetings in Paul's letters were pretty much the same, and they were a lot like this. But notice he leaves out apostle. It's not in all his letters. I didn't look at all of them, but a couple of them, he often says Paul an apostle or something of that sort, mentions that he's an apostle. I've seen two others, I don't remember which one they were, maybe Thessalonians, where he does not mention that he's an apostle, but most times he does. But he just says Paul, meaning himself, a prisoner. And I was wondering why he might leave out the word apostle and only put prisoner. And I believe, obviously, he knew what he was going to write to Philemon. And what he was going to ask Philemon to do, which I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit, we'll go over it in more detail. He was asking Philemon, when he's asking him to forgive him, to bring him, Philemon, and Onesimus on the same level. Forgiveness would bring them on the same level. Stepping back a little bit into a Roman slave, to their owners, they were not much of anything. A slave was, they really had no rights. They were just a person. They were barely even considered a person. They had no rights. So he was asking Philemon to erase that and have Onesimus on the same level as him when he asked to forgive him. So he says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He does not make himself an apostle. It could be that he is asking Philemon to do this, asking Philemon to forgive Onesimus, calling himself just a prisoner, bringing himself on the same level. An apostle was obviously somebody generally of a higher level. We don't really look at it as levels, but somebody in leadership, in command. So he wants Philemon to see him as simply a brother giving him a letter, somebody, one of his friends. Paul was also a prisoner of Rome, but he doesn't mention that he was a prisoner of Rome. He just says a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and he mentions that fairly often through his letters, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Different times he'll mention where he is, and this one he does not. And I believe Paul recognized the hand of God moves in ways that we don't always understand. We could question, why was Paul in prison? Why would God allow Paul to be in prison when he could be going out on more missionary journeys? And I believe Paul wrote this letter strategically to Philemon so that he would understand more what he wants to say. In verse 15, I didn't read that verse yet, but it says, "For perhaps he, being Onesimus, therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever." So he's saying, maybe God set this up, Onesimus to me, becoming converted, and then coming back to you as a brother. Possibly, this is God working. So Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, understanding that God has things the way it's supposed to be. Let's go and read verses 4 through 7. We're going to look at some of things that Paul asks of Philemon. We're going to look at the character of Philemon, then the actions and the motives of him. So the first verses 4 through 7, we're going to look at the character of Philemon. Verse 4 says, "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." Bowels could also be translated hearts. The hearts of the saints are refreshed by thee. So we see something encouraging. He says, "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers." So I see let's look at the character of Philemon. And in that, we see that in verse 5. It says, "Hearing of thy love and faith." And as I mentioned, Philemon was a Christian, was a godly man. He professed faith in Christ. And love towards all saints, towards his fellow men. And his love, he professed faith in God, and his love for those around him is what proved his faith was real. I want to look at that a little bit. James chapter 2 talks about a dead faith, a faith without works, being dead. Chapter 2 verse 14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." So I believe he's just acknowledging to Philemon that what he hears, his faith in Christ, is real, because he's hearing that he is treating, or his love towards the saints. It all makes sense. The line "toward all saints," why would it not say "to all men"? And again, I believe Paul's writing this letter with the intent that that Philemon draw the connection with the letter for Onesimus. So as I mentioned, Onesimus became a Christian, and Christians, the name, it's interchangeable, saints, Christians. So Paul didn't say it yet, but he's going to later, that Paul, Onesimus has become a Christian. And therefore that Philemon would understand that he is a saint. Paul mentions hearing of your love towards the saints. Christians should give a special favor to other Christians. They are part of the family of God. We provide for our own families first, where the Bible requires that we take care of our families. But does that mean that, or that, that's not to say we don't assist anyone else. Remember what Paul is talking about here. It's this letter is pleading for Onesimus to be forgiven, and it's within the church. It's because Onesimus has become a Christian. Philemon has something against Onesimus, but he's a Christian, and now Paul is pressing on Philemon that Onesimus is now a saint, and Christians, the Christians take care of Christians. Galatians 6:10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Now, don't get me wrong; it's not that we should neglect needs around us. That's not all what he's saying. We need to remember that he is speaking within the church, the forgiveness and the caring within the church, that is not neglected. So you might somewhat call that a pep talk. He speaks very highly of him, and then he goes on and brings Onesimus into the conversation. So the next thing I want to look at is the actions of Philemon. And I'm going to read verses 8 through 18. Of Philemon says, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee that such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without my mind I would do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account." So the actions of Philemon are to forgive and to receive. We see Paul pleading with him, saying, please forgive him, but then more so, receive him. "I beseech thee." We see that in verse 10. Paul is, as I mentioned, the mediator, asking Philemon to forgive the wrong Onesimus has done to him. We don't know exactly what it was, but he acknowledges that he was unprofitable. Verse 11, it says, "Which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now is profitable to thee and to me." It was interesting to find that the name Onesimus means useful or profitable. And I believe Paul would have put that in intentionally, knowing that he's understanding that he was unprofitable, but now he's profitable. And that is because he is now a Christian. He can be useful to you because he is a changed man. Backing up a little bit, Paul says, "My son Onesimus," and obviously Onesimus was not Paul's biological child, but Paul had led him to Christ, and now he viewed him as his own son. And he pleads his case, and he even offers to cover his debts, as we saw in verse 18. And again, there we have the family aspect, one that's willing to go beyond, maybe even overlook some things because of the connection not a biological family, but through the family of God. And he's asking Philemon that he would do the same. Paul goes on to say that he would like to keep him, but it would not be right to do that without Philemon's permission. He says that in verse 13 and 14, that he would have liked to keep him, but without my mind I would do nothing, or without your consent I would do nothing. He's asking Philemon that maybe he would send him back, but it has to be willingly. He wants Philemon to do it voluntarily, not that Paul would command it. He asks Philemon to receive him. I'm at verse 16. To receive him, not as a servant, but as a brother. He says, verse 11, he talks about him being unprofitable, but now he's profitable. Receive him now, not as a servant. He could have forgave him and received him as a servant, but above a servant, a beloved brother. Especially to me, but how much more unto thee? Paul sees him, obviously, as a brother. And as I mentioned, this was a big deal. So now Philemon is standing probably in front of Onesimus, and the question is asked, will you forgive him and receive him as part of the family? As I mentioned, slaves were considered, they were low class, they were considered a low class, and particularly Onesimus, he had wronged him in one way or another. Verse 18, if he hath wronged thee, or owed thee aught. So obviously something had happened. But he was asked to receive him as family, as a beloved brother. So Philemon had a few options. By law, he could simply take him back as a servant and do with him as he chooses. And that was allowed. He was allowed to do that. Or he can forgive and receive him as a brother in Christ. No longer as simply a servant, but one of equal value. And I touched some on that before. That's what the question was in front of him now. And I'm sure it was big. What was he going to do? Was he going to forgive him for Paul's sake? For Onesimus' sake? What was he going to do? Human nature makes us want to revenge our loss or to get even with the one who wronged us. So putting this more practical, Onesimus has wronged Philemon, and he's faced with the question, what are you going to do? I'll look at a few verses in Luke 17. Luke 17, verses 3 and 4 say, take heed to yourselves. If any brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. This is the response we're supposed to have to someone who asks. This is saying, if somebody comes to you asking for forgiveness, we're required to forgive. But what if this person does not come seeking forgiveness? In the case of Philemon, Onesimus did come. I believe he asked for forgiveness through Paul. I don't know if he did any talking. But what if the person that wronged us is not asking for forgiveness? Maybe they, I don't know, don't even know or don't care, either one. Do we not offer it? If it's not, if seeking forgiveness is not asked of us, do we offer it? Jesus, of course, is our greatest example on how to respond. And that was when he was being nailed to the cross. He offered forgiveness while on the cross. And they were not asking for forgiveness at that point. Yet he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Prior to his death, on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, if you will forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. So on the topic of forgiveness, do we forgive somebody that wronged us? The answer is yes, regardless of whether it is asked of us or not. Because Jesus says, if we don't forgive others, we won't be forgiven. Let's look at the motives of Philemon yet, and the actions and the motives are going to be somewhat interchangeable, but the motives of Philemon, verses 19 to the end, through 25, says, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy in thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So the motives, and like I said, some of these are interchangeable. I'm going to be going back into some of the previous verses. But the motives, what might have been his motive, assuming that he forgives Onesimus? And I believe his motives are his love for Christ, which we've seen early on, and freely received. Philemon had become a convert under Paul. Now he's asked to freely give. And I would think through the writings of Paul and his confidence that that is Philemon's motives. Again, we don't have the answer to this letter, but Paul seems very confident. Verse 21 says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. So what might motivate Philemon to forgive Onesimus? And I kind of went over some of the things already, but was it Paul's confidence in him? We see him expressing much confidence early on in the first couple of verses where he talks about his love and his faith. So was it his confidence? Was it Paul's confidence in him? Or was it because he knew that's what he should do? Was it because he was Paul's friend and was willing to do it on Paul's behalf? And we see that Paul definitely wanted Philemon to forgive him, and he wanted it voluntarily and not by command. Verse 14 talks about that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, that I'm telling you to, but willingly. And I mentioned earlier that it doesn't mention Paul as an apostle at the beginning of this letter, but rather as a friend. And in verse 8, it alludes to some of that. It says, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin or to command thee that which is convenient, or what he is going to ask, and he's going to be asking for Onesimus' forgiveness. So he lays that aside. He wants Philemon's choices to be done voluntarily, and not simply because Paul said, you must forgive him because he is now a brother in the church. He's letting that out. He is letting Philemon figure that out, at least to some extent. It's voluntarily. And he wants him to forgive and erase his debt, so much so, if Philemon's not willing to simply erase the debt, so much so that Paul said, I will be accountable for any debts that Onesimus might owe. Again, we can see the family connection. Paul was willing to take on the debt of Onesimus. Or could it have been his love for the Lord, as Paul mentioned at the beginning of the letter, understanding that not very long ago he was no different than Onesimus? Because it's mentioned that he is a convert of Paul's. So at one point he was not a Christian. So he understands where Onesimus is. And then more on practical application, this really needs to be our motive as well. Our love for the Lord and remembering that we were once lost and need forgiven. And it should not be by obligation, but by appreciation. Not by obligation, but by appreciation. Not even appreciation for the person asking forgiveness, but appreciation for what Christ has done for us. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." We all need forgiveness. Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Paul would have wrote that before he would have wrote the book of Philemon, or the letter to Philemon. Paul would have wrote that in his Roman letter. So there's a good chance Philemon may have read that and understood that. So there is none righteous. And we need to understand that as well. We all stand in need of forgiveness. And who are we to withhold from somebody else? One more verse, Matthew 10:8. This is when Jesus is sending out the 12 apostles, or the 12 disciples, and he said, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." And if we have received forgiveness, if you have been born again, you understand this, freely receiving. But there is, Jesus asks of us to also freely give. Came across this paragraph that says, when Mr. Wesley, I don't know which Wesley it was on a voyage with General Oglethorpe to Georgia, to General Oglethorpe to Georgia, the general threatened revenge upon an offending servant, saying, "I never forgive." Again, something happened, no details, says, "but I never forgive." He was very upset. Wesley responded to him, he said, "Well, then I hope, sir, that you never sin." The general saw the force of the remark, modified his action towards his servant. So, if we are unwilling to forgive, are we saying that we are not in need of forgiveness? Because Jesus said that if we are not willing to forgive someone else of their trespasses, neither will he forgive us of ours. So to conclude, through this letter we can see an analogy of the gospel. Obviously all analogies break down, but we can see Philemon being God, Paul, Jesus the mediator, and Onesimus as the sinner. We can relate to that. He needs forgiveness, and because Philemon was his master, on his own, possibly couldn't even make the wrongs right. But Paul stepped in, pleaded his case, and we can, I believe, safely assume that Philemon forgave him. It's not in the Bible, some other writings, that there was a man named Onesimus, later a bishop of churches later on in the area. Is it the same Onesimus? It's not confirmed from what I could tell, but possibly. And if he did, and if it is, we know that Philemon would have forgave him. Again, Christ forgives freely to all who call on him. There is no stipulations, Jew, Gentile. We obviously don't have that difference anymore, but back then they would have. Didn't matter, Jew, Gentile, they were all able to receive the gift of salvation. So if Christ offers that to us so freely, a gift of salvation, why then should we withhold it from anyone else? And I know this is much easier said than done, but it's what the Bible says. Are we willing to forgive no matter how much we've been wronged? We need to forgive because our salvation depends on it. Because if we are not forgiven, we cannot enter heaven. The Bible makes that very clear. So as we look at this letter, Philemon's response, possible response, let's take it to heart. We need forgiveness. We understand that. Probably understand that. We need forgiveness. And then there's going to be those around us that need forgiveness as well. We need to give forgiveness. And who are we to hold that back when we freely take forgiveness from our sins? Because if we don't, as I mentioned earlier, our sins are accounted to us. Let's be encouraged by that, because Christ said all can be forgiven and all can experience eternal life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning. We thank you that you are a God of mercy and a God of grace. You've given us a second chance. We are creatures of sin. We've been born into sin, but you have offered a way out. You have freely given it to all. And as we look at this letter to Philemon, the plea to forgive Onesimus, one that had wronged him, might we take that to heart and be more than willing to forgive those that have wronged us. Lord, give us the strength and the courage to do that. I just pray for the remainder of the service, and just pray that your name would be honored and glorified. I pray this in your name. Amen.